I have only been admitted to the hospital twice in my life so far. And the first time that I was admitted to the hospital, I was 6 years old. And even to this very day, I have a very vivid memory of that experience in the hospital of being so thirsty. Even to this day, I've never been that thirsty in all of my life. And I begged the nurse, I said, please, I need something to drink. And the nurse said, all I'm going to give you is ice chips. Not even a popsicle. Nothing to satisfy my thirst. Have you ever been so thirsty that your tongue felt like sandpaper? When was the last time you were so thirsty you could hardly stand it? Maybe it was when you were in the hospital or when you're taking medication, your mouth feels like sandpaper. Or maybe it was after you were working out or perhaps after mowing the lawn last summer. Remember when the temperature was 95 degrees? It really did happen. It was 95 degrees. We had 75% humidity. Maybe that's when you were thirstier. Maybe it was after you ate something muy picante at La Restaurante La Comida Mexicana. Or maybe it was after your Friday fish fry. And at 9 o'clock at night, you're like, oh, I need like 5 gallons of water. That doesn't really quench your thirst. If you have a vivid memory of thirst, then you know how thirsty the Samaritan woman was when she came to draw water at Jacob's well at noon. High noon. The heat of the day when her thirst was the greatest. And there at the well, she has the best encounter of her life. She finds Jesus, the wellspring of eternal life. Jesus says to the woman, whoever drinks this water from the well will be thirsty again. And isn't that the truth? If we drink natural water, sure enough, we'll be thirsty again sometime. All the water from Jacob's well won't quench her thirst. She has to keep coming back to the well every single day. Jesus says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. You can see here how Jesus is slowly moving from talking about natural thirst to supernatural thirst. There's one thing to be thirsty in the body, and it's another thing to be thirsty in your soul. And the Samaritan woman is really, really thirsty. She says to Jesus, sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. You can just sense in her words that there's a deeper spiritual thirst in her soul. She wants to quench her spiritual thirst. And if you want proof of how spiritual thirsty the Samaritan woman is, just remember how many husbands she has. 5. 5 husbands. That's a lot. That's because she's thirsty. She's thirsting for love. And she's thirsting for happiness. She's thirsting for acceptance. And she's thirsting for security. She's thirsting for a relationship of trust and honesty. And she never finds it. Yet, when she starts drinking from Jesus, the wellspring of eternal life, all of a sudden, she doesn't need her water jar anymore. She left her water jar there at the well. She forgot about her natural thirst because she had satisfied her deeper supernatural thirst with the living water from Jesus. Jesus was filling up not her water jar, but her soul. So she didn't need that water jar anymore. Just as the apostles left their nets at the seashore, so the woman leaves her water jar at the well. The Samaritan woman discovered that the only person who completely satisfies all our thirsts, all our wants, all our desires is Jesus. We are thirsting for the Lord. Our soul is dry like sandpaper until it's quenched by the Lord. The psalmist knew this. Psalm 63 says, O God, my God, for you I long, for you my soul is thirsting like a dry, weary land without water. Psalm 42 says this, my soul is thirsting for the living God. More thirsty than our body is our soul for the living Lord Jesus. But here's a little twist. Our thirst that we have for Jesus is nothing compared to his thirst for us. Jesus is thirsting for us. Remember, he got to the well first. He's the one who initiated the conversation and asked the Samaritan woman to satisfy his thirst. Jesus comes to the well and says to the Samaritan woman, give me a drink. St. Augustine comments on this passage, and he says, why did the Lord ask her for a drink when she came at the heat of the day? Well, obviously, the Lord was thirsty for the trust of that woman. The special preface of today's Mass echoes St. Augustine's thought. So ardently did Christ thirst for her faith. The Lord was thirsting for her faith. The Lord was thirsting that she would believe in him, and she does at the end. Oh, the Lord was so thirsty for that. The Catechism of the Catholic Church has a beautiful explanation of today's wonderful long gospel, and this is what the Catechism says. It's in paragraph 2560. It is Jesus who first seeks us and asks us for a drink. Jesus thirsts. His asking arises from the very depths of God's desire for us. God thirsts for us that we may thirst for him. Commenting on this passage in St. John's Gospel, St. Thomas Aquinas says, our Lord thirsted for the salvation of man on account of his love. Accordingly, while hanging on the cross, he cried out, I thirst. You know, in every chapel of the missionaries of charity throughout the world, those beautiful nuns, you know, Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, her sisters, the missionaries of charity, at every chapel throughout the world, right underneath the crucifix, right underneath Jesus' chin, to the left of the crucifix, is written on the wall two words, I thirst. Yet Jesus was thirsty in his body on the cross, parched more than I was in the hospital. But there's another level. He was thirsty for love. Our love. Do you believe that Jesus is thirsting for you even more than you're thirsting for him? This was a surprise twist that I never thought of. I know that I'm thirsting for Jesus, but that he is thirsting for me? On this third Sunday of Lent, the Lord Jesus comes to the well of our soul, thirsting for our love and for our faith. He says to us, give me a drink. Will you satisfy the Lord's thirst today?